All right, I want you to take God's word, turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. We have begun a study through the book of 1 Timothy, and I've had a time already. We've come to our third message. We pick up our reading in verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. Appreciate Brother Mike leading the music. Brother Gary and his wife are in Colorado, and they'll be coming back, Lord willing, on Tuesday. And so on. I just wanted to share that just so you don't think I ran him off or anything like that, you know. We appreciate Brother Gary. Amen. And that's good. He'll be back with us, God willing, this week. I appreciate those who are stepping up to the plate, leading the music. God bless you. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, and invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark four words in verse number 12. It's the four words, I thank Christ Jesus. I thank Christ Jesus. Let's pray together and I'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you today and we thank you for what you've done in our lives. Thank you, Lord God, for this day, for this service. And I confess to you that I need your help. Please forgive me of any sin or shortcoming in my life and heart. Help me to be a clean vessel. May you defeat Satan today and his evil spirits. I pray, Lord, that you be our invited guest. Speak to the hearts of those who are gathered here. If somebody has come to church but never come to Christ, may today be the glorious day when they walk the aisle. We beg of you, please, in Jesus' name, amen. As we come to verses 12 and 13, we see the Apostle Paul taking a little time to share his own personal testimony. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And let me say here that we who are saved should not be ashamed of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in our lives. Paul was not ashamed, but rather took opportunities, like in our text here, to stop and tell others what God had done for him. And in our text here, as I was reading, there was one phrase that seemingly drew me in and jumped off the page. And this phrase is what I see as the theme of Paul's life and testimony. And at the same time, may I say it should be the theme of our life and our testimony also. It's found in the words, I thank Christ Jesus. You know, our world today is eaten up with ungratefulness. Our world is eaten up with ingratitude and unthankfulness. But for the child of God, this should never be. Christ Jesus has been too good to us. In other words, we should spend our lives saying thank you to him for how good he has been to you and me. Psalm 18:49, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Psalm 50:14, offer unto God thanksgiving. Psalm 92:1, is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. The Bible goes on to say, be thankful unto him and bless his name. It is the will of God for his children to be thankful unto him for all his multiplying goodness to us. As a matter of fact, there were those in the Old Testament who were appointed unto this office of just giving thanks. In 1 Chronicles 16:4, and he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. This is also found in 1 Chronicles 23:30. In all of this, we see our Lord is pleased with our thanksgiving. After all, he has been and always will be, he is the only one who is worthy of our thanksgiving and our praise this morning. In our text, we see several things that we can all look back and say, I thank Christ Jesus for that right there.
Several things that we can thank him for this morning. Number one, we can thank him in verse 12 for his enabling. The Bible says in verse 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me." In this verse, we see our attention is brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is giving thanks for Christ enabling, which means his strength or his power. In other words, today, folks, Paul wanted everyone to know that everything accomplished in his ministry was done by the power of Almighty God. It was done by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Psalm 62:11, power belongeth unto God. You know, there is so much pride in our country today. There's so much pride in our marriages today. There's so much pride in our lives today where people think they can do anything they set their mind to. However, let me remind you, Jesus said in John 15:5, "Without me ye can do nothing." The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:5, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." May I say to you this morning that he's thanking Christ Jesus for giving him the ability to get up and do what he needed to do. And in the same way, we should realize that without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Therefore, our hearts should cry out in gratitude for the strength he gives us to live life on a day-to-day basis. May I say to you today that the only reason you got out of the bed is because of the enabling of Christ Jesus. The only reason that you can walk in here today is because of the enabling of Christ Jesus. The only reason your heart is beating, the only reason you can raise your hand is the enabling of Christ Jesus. Without the power of God, we are nothing. But may I tell you, he enables you. He helps you. By the strength of God, you are what you are. Somebody ought to say amen. Praise God. Thank you, Christ Jesus, for enabling me to have life and to live it for you. He was thanking him for his enabling. Secondly, he was thanking him for his calling. We see this in verse 12. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Paul is saying here that he thanks Christ Jesus for putting him into the ministry. In other words, Paul did not choose this on his own. The ministry was God's will for his life. And Paul recognized the fact that being put into the ministry is a high calling of God. And for that, he was grateful to God for it. Acts 20:24, "The ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus," this is Paul speaking again, "to testify the gospel of the grace of God." 2 Corinthians 4:1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." You know, it was an honor for Paul to be called by God, for which he was thankful. And let me say here, in the same way, we who have been called by God into the ministry should be grateful to our Christ Jesus for counting us faithful and putting us in it. I didn't choose this for myself. I didn't. I was going my own way, doing my own thing, and enjoying it. And God used it to open spiritual doors for me when I was going the way of baseball. I still, every now and then, think about it. I still think about it. I can smell fresh cut grass and so on, and I start thinking about that. But then it all dwindles off because I realize that Christ Jesus placed me and called me into the ministry. And I praise him today for it. I thank him for it. And may I say this to you? Not just the ministry. Let me apply it to you this way if you're not in the ministry. Every one of us has the call of God on our life. Some of you, he's called to be a husband. Some of you, he's called to be a wife. Some of you, he's called to be a daddy or a mama or a grandparent. He's called everybody to serve him. And we ought to say thank you for how good you've been to me. I thank Christ Jesus for his enabling. I thank Christ Jesus for his calling. Then number three, he's thanking Christ Jesus for his mercy. We see this in verses 13 and following. "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Look at verse number 16. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. Paul brings out who he was in verse number 13. He says in verse 13, he says, I was a blasphemer. That means he ridiculed and mocked Christ and Christians. He made fun of God's people. He goes on to say, I was a persecutor. That means he hurt God's people, not only verbally, but physically. He said he was injurious. That means he insulted them and hurt God's people arrogantly with the spirit of tyranny. And if you convert back to before he trusted Christ, that's exactly who Paul was. He blasphemed God. He persecuted God's children. He injured God's children. And he did it with a spirit of tyranny. While any one of these, according to the law, if you remember what we preached on last week, according to the law, any one of those sins, blaspheming, persecuting, injurious, any one of those sins could have sent him to hell. But God stepped in and showed him mercy. Mercy is when the Lord holds back what one truly deserves. Psalm 86:5, the Bible says, For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Psalm 136, For his mercy endureth forever. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, it says this, how that by revelation, where it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Genesis 19:16. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, talking about Lot, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Let me tell you something, folks. Every one of us are sinners. Every one of us has broken the law and the commandment of God. And the Bible tells us in James chapter 2 that if we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we're guilty of all. And since we have sinned, we deserve eternal death. We deserve hell. We deserve the lake of fire. But God, who is rich in mercy, good night, I'm starting to feel good up here. Who's rich in mercy today? He stepped in and he gave us what right here. He withheld from us who are saved. We deserve hell, but his mercy says, I know that's what he deserves, but he's in me and he's not going there anymore. Somebody say amen right there. There was a mother one time. She was approached by Napoleon. Actually, she approached Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. Her son had committed a crime, and he had committed this offense twice, and the justice demanded that this boy die. And the mother said, but I don't ask for justice. She said, I plead for mercy. Napoleon said, but your son does not deserve mercy. And she said, sir, it wouldn't be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for. Well then, Napoleon said, I will have mercy. And he turned him loose. You know, folks, our society and many people today, especially those who are lost, and not all of them, but a lot of people who are lost today, because many of us were there in the same place, we thought too highly of ourselves. Who in the world would want what they deserve? The world cries out, reach out and grab everything that's coming to you. You better be glad God doesn't give you that. Because if we get what comes to us, we'll be burning for everlasting, everlasting, eternal, eternal. We'll be burning forever. Spoke to a lady this week. She was calling in and she chewed me out. Just for sending her a sympathy letter on the death of her husband, just calling her to let her know that we were praying for her. She called to chew me out on that.
God help me with it. I started getting in the flesh. God help me. The Lord opened my mind when she's chewing me out, and the thought went across my mind, leave an open door with this lady. Don't close the door to the gospel. So I got off by simply saying, ma'am, God bless you. If our church can ever help you in any way, you let us know. She said, not in this lifetime, and clicked. But the door's still open. You see what I'm saying? One of that lady's problems was this. She said, there is no hell. Everybody's going to heaven. Nobody's going to hell. God's a God of love. And she's exactly right. He is a God of love. That's why he tells you there's a hell. You see the difference? Love is when he shares the truth with you. Love is when God says there's nothing that's going to enter heaven to defile it. Nothing. You must be saved and clean if you want to come be with me in heaven. There's a burning lake of fire. God says that. Somebody says, I don't believe it. Then you know more than God does. Because God preached that Jesus preached more on hell than he did heaven, folks. Hell is a real, I wish it wasn't. But folks, because we have sinned and broken God's law, that's what we deserve. We deserve the lake of fire. But God had mercy. He had mercy. And he withheld for those who trust his son. If you trust Jesus Christ, he does not give you what you deserve. He shows mercy. And Paul said, I'm thanking Christ Jesus, who was once a blasphemer and injurious. And I'm talking about a persecutor. I deserve to go there, but God showed me mercy.
By the way, that word is in the passive voice. What's that mean? You know what that means? That means Paul didn't seek mercy. Mercy sought Paul. Do you see that?
Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You didn't seek him. He sought you. That's mercy. That's mercy. I thank Christ Jesus for his enabling. I thank Christ Jesus for his calling. I thank Christ Jesus for his mercy. Then number four, he said, I thank Christ Jesus for his grace. We see this in verses 14 to 16 in our text, if you'll look at it. And the grace, there it is, of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. It's interesting that right after he mentions mercy, he mentions grace. See, mercy holds back what we deserve. Grace gives us what we do not deserve. You see the difference? In other words, we deserve hell. If we don't get that, that's mercy. But when God gives us everlasting life, that's grace. We don't deserve everlasting life. We deserve what he holds from us. That's mercy. We don't deserve what he gives us. That's grace. Good night.
Grace is what the Lord gives when it's not deserved. And in these verses here, we see several things that Christ Jesus, by his amazing grace, has given us. There's a list of them. Number one, under the grace of God. Paul's thanking Christ Jesus for his grace. And on top of that, here's what that grace gave and still gives. First of all, it gave Paul a changed life. We see this in verse 14. It says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. See, in verse number 13, he just said, I blasphemed these people. I persecuted these people. I injured these people. But when God stepped in his mercy and grace, he replaced that hatred with love. And he replaced it with faith. And all I'm saying to you is that when God reaches down with his grace, even though Paul was a terrible sinner, in verse number 13, yet God's exceeding abundant grace replaced
his sin with faith and love for the same people. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God's grace changed him from a persecutor into a preacher. God's grace changed him from a murderer into a missionary. God's grace changed him from a hater into a lover. And I'm going to tell you something. When you really get saved, it changes your life. James chapter 2. True faith works. It's not produced by works, but it produces works. There's a big difference. During the late 1800s, there was an evangelist by the name of Henry Morehouse. He made several trips to America to preach. And on one of these occasions, he was taking a walk through a poor section of the city when he noticed a small boy coming out of a store with a pitcher of milk. Just then, the boy slipped and fell, breaking the pitcher and spilling the milk all over the sidewalk. Morehouse rushed over to this little boy's side and found him unhurt but terrified. Oh, my mama's going with me. My mama's going with me, he's saying. The preacher suggested that they try to put the pitcher back together. But the pieces of glass would not stay together. The boy kept crying. What was he going to do? Finally, the preacher picked up the youngster and carried him to a nearby store where the preacher purchased a new pitcher. Then he returned to the dairy store and had the pitcher washed and filled with milk. Now with that done, he picked the boy up with the pitcher and carried them both home. Putting the youngster down on his front porch, the preacher handed him the pitcher and asked, "Now will your mama still whip you?" A wide smile came across his tear-stained face and he said, "Oh, no, sir." He said, "'Cause it's a lot better pitcher than we had before." You listening to me? Every time you sin, there's a crack that comes in your life. And a little bit more life seeps out. When God changes you, when He saves you, He doesn't mend you. He doesn't put you back together. He makes you brand new. And you're a whole lot better than what you had to start with anyway. Now, who in the world wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? Somebody may be sitting right here now and you know in your heart that if you drop dead, you do not have peace that you'd go to heaven. I ask you, what good is your life doing you now? Oh, I'm enjoying it. Is it worth going to hell about? Oh, I'm having the time of my life. I guarantee you're not having the time I'm having. Amen. 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 And by the way, the time I'm having doesn't make me feel guilty about it. Amen. The grace of God gave a changed life. Secondly, the grace of God gave Himself. See this in verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's interesting here that the Bible says Christ came into the world. He's the only one that statement can be made about. You didn't come into the world. You're of the world. You're made of the world. The dust of the earth. But not Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus came into the world. You know what that tells me? He was in existence before His birth. Amen. He's the God-man. And Paul brings out here how Christ Jesus came Himself to set us free. That's grace. Do you deserve the Son of God? Do you? Do you deserve Jesus Christ not to send an angel but send Himself? Do you deserve that? I don't deserve it either. That's God's grace. And God's grace, remember, gives us things that we don't deserve. It gives us a changed life. We don't deserve that. It gives us God Himself. Jesus Himself came into the world to save us who are sinners. We don't deserve Christ Jesus. Yet the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What an amazing gift by the grace of God. What more could the grace of God give than God himself? You don't get any bigger than that. You see what I'm saying? 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What a powerful verse. Though he was rich, yet he became poor, so that he can make we who are poor rich just like him. Who in the world would say no to that? Who in the world? Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins. Galatians 2:20, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The grace of God. I thank Christ Jesus for his enabling. I thank him for his calling. I thank him for his mercy. I thank him for his grace that changed my life, gave me himself. And then thirdly, it gives me salvation. We see this where it says in verse number 15 that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. Salvation. Paul is thanking Christ Jesus that his salvation has been brought. God's amazing grace brings deliverance. Salvation means deliverance. You don't deserve deliverance from your sin, neither do I. But when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, he delivers us from sin. That's salvation. He delivers us from sin, Matthew 1:21. He delivers us from uncleanness, Ezekiel chapter 36. He delivers us from the devil in Colossians chapter 2. He delivers us from his wrath in Romans chapter 4, chapter 5. He delivers us from this present evil world in Galatians chapter 1. He delivers us from enemies in Luke chapter 1. He delivers us from eternal death in John chapter 3. Salvation. The grace of God. The grace of God brings salvation. Then number 4, the grace of God brings long suffering. Verse number 16, look at it. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. You know what that word long suffering means? It means patience. Let me ask you a question. Are you glad God's patient with you? What if he wasn't? Now think with me just a moment. What if God was not patient with us? What if he was like you and I are a lot of times? Somebody steps out of line one time, the hammer comes down. What if God was like that? I'm glad he's not like that this morning. I'm glad he's long-suffering. And what I mean by this is that he is patient. Now consider this. It took God 6 days to create everything you see. But ever since then, he's been working on restoring us to him. How patient has he been? Psalm 86:15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. 1 Peter 3:20, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Because of God's grace, he has given patience. His patience. Allowing his wrath to be withheld. That's long suffering. That's patience. This is all under grace, by the way. Grace is what brings this. Grace is what brings the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Grace is what replaces a torn apart life with a brand new life. Grace is what brings salvation. Grace is what brings the patience of God. And grace right here, lastly for our consideration, is what brings everlasting life. In verse 16, the latter part of it, which should believe hereafter on him to life everlasting. Now by God's amazing grace, we who were condemned to everlasting death when we trust Christ have been granted everlasting life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. You know, when we consider God's grace, we have so many wonderful things, of which other things would include, we have justification in Romans chapter 3 by His grace. We have forgiveness of sin in Ephesians chapter 1 by His grace. We have hope by His grace in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. No wonder God's grace is called great in Acts 4. It's called rich in Ephesians 1. It's called exceeding in 2 Corinthians 9. It's called manifold in 1 Peter 4. It's called sufficient in 2 Corinthians 12. God's amazing grace. And Paul saying, I thank Christ Jesus for every bit of it. When a person works an 8-hour day and receives a fair day's pay for his time, that's a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that's a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his long service or high achievements, that's an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, is not capable to win a prize, and cannot deserve an award, yet receives all three of them anyway, that's a good picture of the grace of God. You can't deserve this. Do you begin to see, and I'm just about through. Now you know I'm lying to you, right? No, I'm just kidding with you. But do you begin to see why somebody who thinks they have to work to go to heaven is a stench in the nostrils of God? Can you not see that? The Bible says salvation is a gift of God. It's because you and I do not deserve it. It is all by His grace and His mercy. It is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. But somebody says, no, I've got to live it. You know what you're saying? I've got to earn it. You've already earned something, sir. You've already earned the lake of fire. Somebody says, I've got to get baptized. Wait a minute. That is a physical thing. Now, we baptize people not for salvation, but because of salvation. But if you put your faith in the water, then you're saying, God, what He did on the cross is not sufficient. What else can you be saying? You'd have to say, it is part of it, but then I've got to do something. I've got to step in that water. I've got to submit my will. I've got to be baptized. That's a work. That's a work. It's by grace. It's by grace. And somebody who's saved should say, thank you, God. Thank you, Christ Jesus, that when I deserved hell, You gave me mercy, and You've on top of that given me You. You've given me a changed life. You've given me heaven. You've given me everlasting life. Thank You, God. When we get to heaven, it's not going to be, thank You, Jesus, for Your part, but thank the Lord I did my part. That's ridiculous. We're going to look on Him and say, good night alive. Thank you, God. And it's going to stop right there, I guarantee it. No doubt about it. When Paul thought about the goodness of Christ Jesus, he erupted with thanksgiving. That climax with verse number 17, look at it. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 13, 15. Let us offer the sacrifices of praise to our God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Psalm 50, 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Psalm 92, 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 105, 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. The Lord Jesus has enabled us and called us to Himself. He has given us mercy and given us grace. The message today, thank Him for it. There's a song that you know well, and it goes like this. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good, He's so good to me. He died for me. He died for me. He died for me. He died for me.
He's so good to me. He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me so. He's so good to me. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And I felt good singing that. May hurt your ears, but it helps my heart. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know him, let me recommend him to you. If you do know him, we ought to get on our faces. And say, I thank Christ Jesus for what he's done in my life. Amen. Amen. Let's all bow our heads together, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, nobody leaving unless you absolutely have to. Unless you absolutely have to leave, I do not want you leaving. Our Father, help us. Help me to guide this invitation in a way that pleases you, honors you, glorifies you. Please defeat Satan and magnify yourself. Help people to make eternal decisions. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I want to ask you some questions if you'll let me do that. First question is this. Have you ever experienced the grace and mercy of Almighty God? There are two kinds of people listening to me today. There are those who have said yes to the grace and mercy of God, and there are those who have not. If you're sitting there listening to me right now and you say, Jody, I know without a doubt that I am a child of God. I know. I'm not hoping. I'm not thinking. I know that I'm saved. I know I am. There's been a time in my life when I realized that I was a hell-deserving sinner, but I realized that Jesus died for me. And I have placed my faith and trust in Him. I've repented of my sin, and I've asked Him to come into my heart and forgive me. Now, folks, I'm not going to come to your seat. I will not call you out. But if and only if you can say that with the surety that heaven is your home, with God watching you, if you can say that, as a testimony to Him, would you lift your hand in the air to Him, please? You say, I know I'm a Christian. I know I am. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it a minute, but I want you to listen to me. You can put it down, but I want you to listen to me. You not only say thank you to Christ Jesus with your lips, you say it also with your life. Everything you do should be out of gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I just said to you? In just a moment, maybe there's some of you that just need to come and say, Christ Jesus, thank you. Maybe there's some of you that with your lips, maybe you've been saying thank you, but you know in your life that you've not been saying thank you to Him. You're living life for yourself, doing your own thing. May God help you. Now, if you're sitting there right now and you could not raise your hand to that question, I want to say thank you for being honest. It all starts with honesty. It really does.
And I'm going to tell you something. I've done such a poor job this morning of trying to explain the grace and mercy of God. But I just want you to know that because you've sinned, just like the rest of us, you do not deserve heaven. But God is rich in mercy and grace. And He's extending it to you today. He's made it to where you can say yes, or He's made it to where you can say no. If you say no, that's your right. But there's coming a day when you'll wish to God you'd said yes. Is there somebody sitting there right now? Again, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to point you out. You have my word. I just need to know how I need to proceed with the invitation. Is there somebody here today? You say, Jody, I could not just raise my hand to that question. But I'll tell you one thing. I want that mercy and grace. I want God's mercy and grace. I want His mercy that withholds from me what I deserve, and I want that grace that gives me what I do not deserve. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand in the air? God bless you. Thank you. You can put it right back down. Put it right back down. Somebody else. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Somebody else. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Along with these three, anybody else? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I have this, but I know I want it. I want you to ask, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. If you just raise your hand to that question, I want to ask you to do me a favor. I want you to look up and look right up here at me. Would you do that? Now, you have my word. I'm not going to come to your seat. I promise you. I'm going to keep my word with you. You believe me, right? I'm not going to come to your seat. Nobody even knows who I'm talking to. I want to help you with this. The person that you're sitting beside, do you know them? Do you know them? Do you know the person you're sitting beside? Okay. On either side of you? Okay. Right here, sir. Do you know anybody sitting around you right there? Here's what I want you to do. Please trust me with this, okay? Please trust me with this. I want you right now to poke the person that you know. Okay? Would you do that? If you get poked, I want you to look up here at me, please. If you get poked, I want you to look right up here at me. Look right up here, please. In just a moment, we're going to stand. And we have folks trained to take a Bible. Men with men, ladies with ladies. They're trained to take a Bible and show you for yourself. This is why this is so important. You don't need to take my word for it. It's too important to take my word for it. You understand? We want you to see it for yourself. Does that make sense what I'm saying to you? In just a moment, we're going to stand in just a moment, and I'm going to ask you to respond. And I want these people that you have poked to come with you. You say, Jody, do I have to come forward? Well, we want you to come forward. This is not for us. This is for you, so you can see the Bible for yourself. Yes, that is what that says. Yes, I see that. Yes, this is what I need. Now, the devil's fighting, no doubt about it. But this is what the Lord would have you to do. Do you believe that? You know this is what God would have you to do, right? You believe that? God loves you today. He's spoken to you. We want to help you. Amen. Amen. If you just got poked, in just a moment, we're going to have you to respond. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. She's just going to play through, Brother Mike. Maybe there's folks here today that says, I've been saved, but I've never made it public. There's lost people here. I want to ask you to step out and come. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking, please, to make it as simple as it can on these folks. As they're playing through right now, if you'd leave your place, if you got poked, would you come? If you need to come for salvation, if you need to come make it public, if you need to come join the church, whatever it may be, God help you. We need some male help here, please. We need two of you. God bless you. We're going to help you with this, okay? We're going to help you with this. Brother Jack, Brother Harry, God bless you. We're going to help you with this, okay? Let's help right here, please. Maybe there's other people in here say, oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. but I've not been saying thank you enough. With your lips or with your life. May God help us with this. Amen. Amen. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. It's always a privilege to have folks respond to the gospel. Amen. Just keep playing, okay? No doubt in a crowd this size, there are many people who know somebody that's never said yes to the grace of God. Say, Jody, what can I do about it? Why don't you try to get them here and let me preach to them? You know? They'll never come. Get a copy of the message. Send it to them. And say, just listen to this in the privacy of your home. If you have any questions, call me. They'll call me and chew me out. Wouldn't you rather them chew you out here than lose them for all eternity? Don't you think it's time we start attacking this? You see what I'm saying? If you're still standing, you can have a seat just a moment. I want these altar workers to take their time. This is what it's about. You understand? You say it's 12:05. You know I'm good about time, don't you? Do you have a problem with this? Surely not. You know? It's what it's about, isn't it? Amen. By the way, if this was you, we'd take time for you. Amen. I'm excited about being a Christian. You ought to be the happiest people on earth. Looking bleak. No, it's not. How can heaven look bleak? How can seeing the Lord be discouraging? What did God say in the Bible? When all these things start to come to pass, lift up your eyes. Your redemption draweth nigh. Don't waste your time. Hope you understand what I'm doing. I'm giving these folks time. You understand that, right? Don't waste your time living life for yourself. This is a pastor of a church. I'm not even used to that yet. Well, this is the pastor of this church just talking to you and saying, listen, life is not about you. Life's not about me. Life's about the Lord. Let's live for Him. Amen. Let's give Him our life. Let's serve Him. Let's thank Him for what He's done for us. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Amen. Amen. Very good. Very good. We're going to get all this information. I want Brother Harry to take his time. No pressure. We don't ever want to rush something like this, you know. May God help us with it. No doubt about it. Good. It's been good to be in God's house. Amen. I trust we're seeing things all over the grounds. There's a lot of children's churches, bus youth church going on. I want the Lord to meet with us. Amen. Amen. I know what this is about right here. I'm going to ask Mr. and Mrs. Elsie if they wouldn't mind to stand right now, if they wouldn't mind to do this. My wife and I had the privilege of visiting with them in their home. They've been visiting the church. You can keep playing. I like it when you play. My wife and I had the privilege of visiting with them in their home. Through that visit, it came out that Mrs. Elsie was really doubting and struggling with her salvation. And that visit in the home, she bowed her head and trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Isn't that good? That's wonderful. And she's coming today to make it public. She asked me yesterday, and I was visiting with her, do I have to say anything? I said, no, I'll say it all for you, you know. These are the Elsies, and she is coming to make it public, and she is interested in baptism. This is what it's about.
Amen. That's a blessing. No doubt about it. Praise God. Amen. Well, we're not going to let him. Our husband's wanting to join a church. I said, we're not going to let him, you know.
This is Mr. and Mrs. Elsie. She is coming to make her profession of faith public. And also, she wants to join our church by baptism. Mr. Elsie is coming by statement, correct? Could I get a motion that we receive these on this? Yes, a second. Brother Steve, great. All in favor, raise your hand high. All opposed, please don't say anything. You oppose, we'll vote you out, you know. I'm just playing with you. God bless you. We're excited for you. You may be seated. Mr. Neil Harrington, right? If you wouldn't mind to stand, Neil. Brother Harry, you can stand with him there if you'd like. He's coming to rededicate his life to Christ. It's a great decision. Let this be the starting point. Amen. We're thrilled you're here. Are you glad he's here today? We want to help you. Amen. We want to help you. God bless you. You may be seated. That's a wonderful decision. This is Sean Stanley, right? Sean, if you wouldn't mind standing. Brother Jack, if you wouldn't mind standing with him. Sean brought his child or children today, right? We met him right before Sunday school. And Sean, you're coming today to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know now if Jesus came back, you're going with him. Amen. He wants to join our church by baptism. We want to come by and talk to you about this, make sure there's no confusion. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation. It's like a wedding ring. If I take my ring off, I'm still married. But that wedding ring's a symbol that shows the world a silent witness of who I am. That's baptism. You see what I'm saying? We're thrilled you're here. God bless you. Let me have a motion. We receive him on his baptism. God bless you. A second. Good. All in favor, raise your hand high. All opposed? Good. It's great, isn't it? God bless you. You may be seated. It's been a great day, hasn't it? Let's all stand together, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer. When we dismiss in prayer, I want to encourage all of you, not all of you, but as many as you can, if you wouldn't just to come by and shake these folks' hand, tell them you'd be praying for them. Welcome them into our church. This is what it's all about. No doubt about it. It's been a great day. Let's rejoice and thank Christ Jesus for it. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Mike, I hope you don't mind doing this, to come to the pulpit here and lead us in a word of prayer, please. Okay? God bless you. We'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock. Please be in your place.
Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for just the privilege of being in your house this morning, Lord. We thank you for this message, Lord. Help it to saturate our hearts, Lord. And we thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. We are so undeserving, but we lift our voices high and praise you for all that you've done, Lord. We're so thankful for that amazing grace. Please be with us and bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.